Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 258 of the Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe here with you this week. Coming up on the show, we'll be hearing from Tom Butler about his book Court, which is set in the world of racing. James Stevens from the Empty Can joins us on the phone to talk about their single, I Vow to Thee, Black Country. We mentioned a few weeks ago that it was being released in aid of Compton Hospice. It has been released, and we'll talk more about that a little bit later on and hear more of their tunes.
And we'll also be talking to Scott Bagnall about a summer panel.
But first of all,
Philip Solomon is known for his books on the paranormal and also some of the great ghost stories from around the Midlands and beyond. But he's now released his first novel and he joins us on the phone to tell us all about it. Phil, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing, Jason?
I'm all right, I reckon. So it's a dream fight.
Indeed.
But there's more to it than that. Give us the full title.
The Dream Fight, one man's version of who was the greatest heavyweight boxer of all time.
Very long title. Does it go across the whole front of the page and all the way down?
The headings of it is actually the dream fight.
Oh, okay.
But I think I think that's the thing that's run on that sort of wording. I think has run on one or two books and different things over the years. So I think that's the publishers really. It's the dream fight, really.
Yeah, it gives you a bit of a byline, so people know what they're letting themselves in for when they pick up the book.
Yeah.
And obviously, you've got an interest in many different sports. You've been involved in a lot of different things through your life, I know. And have you ever been a boxer?
Yeah, as a kid, I was quite keen on boxing. I come from a family that's always been involved sort of with boxing and that sort of stuff. My grandfather was good boxers. My dad boxed in the forces as a kid. I mean, I come from a generation that we were still offered boxing at school. That gives me age away a bit. I don't think you see much. Well, maybe possibly one or two of the public skills, but it's certainly not something that you see generally, is it?
No.
But it's something that's always been around my life, really, to be honest, is that way.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, well, you know, for the life you've had, such a spiritual sort of guy, but you know, you do find that a lot of these guys, you know, who are involved in boxing, away from the ring, they are the loveliest, nicest people you could ever wish them, and very often very spiritual. It's only when the bell goes, really, but you better run for your life, you know.
And then you've put yourself opposite them voluntarily, so
well, there you go, that's very true. Gladiators and all that jazz.
So where did the initial seed for this story come from, outside of the family connections?
Well, you know, I'm really, fiction isn't my thing. A novel's not really been my thing. As you say, I've written a lot of books on the paranormal, and I wrote the official Wolves quiz book a few years ago, official Villa quiz book a few years ago, and bits and bobs on boxing, you know. You know, like blowing me out, Trumpy, but as I say, having the life around the sport, you know, I do really know it pretty inside out. And I've always, well, that's a challenging comment, isn't it? But I've always had a particular interest in the heavyweight championship. I mean, I'm quite friends with a couple of guys who have held the title, you know. But, I mean, what this is really, it's a story of a London sports journalist and covers boxing, you know. And really, he wants to give up the old cigarettes. He wants to stop smoking. And he goes along to see a hypnotist to try and help him stop smoking. And fails miserably, really. But
so I haven't got that far through the book yet. I've only got as far as him arriving at the hypnotist so far.
Oh, well, I better not tell you too much then.
Don't give too much away.
Spoil it for you.
Was it difficult to sit down and start writing it? Because obviously with the other books you've done, you've sort of got a bit of fact behind you that you can start with. So when it came to writing this?
It's a good question, Zoe, but, you know, to be honest, I think I probably always had the capability of writing a novel, but it was never something that I was really sort of driven to do. But I think if you've got that imagination there, and you know it's something that you can do, you can write. I think that it's an often said thing, isn't it, really, Zoe, that there's a book of that nature in everybody, isn't there?
I suppose once you start and you're getting in the flow,
and I mean, as I say, I know the sport so well, and I always had a fascination with the heavyweight title particularly, really, you know. And I mean, the sports side, obviously, speaking to Jason, I've written quite a few bits and bobs on sport and a couple of books, you know. So, no, not really. I mean, I think the time factor is what makes it difficult. I mean, a lot of people think, you know, they think you write a book over a weekend, and you don't do. You know, I mean, an awful lot of work in it, really. I mean, I don't think you would ever, if you were paid on the clock, you would never get your money back, would you, unless you have the big break of it being a bestseller or becoming a film or something, you know?
Yeah, as it's when it turns into films. And, I mean, this is a sort of book that would sit well there. I mean, from what I've read on the preface and where we're looking at so far in the story,
well,
the seat's going to start to develop. And as I stopped you before you got too far through, but could you just give us a few of the major plot points to tease people a little?
Well, as I say, you know, as I said, a London sports journalist, Denson Brown, and, you know what I mean, I think he's coming towards the end of his career, really, and, you know, everything's getting difficult, and he decides he's going to stop the old, you know, the old coffin nails, the cigarettes, and you know, the only way he's going to do it is with an hypnotist, which he goes and fails miserably, but finds that his fascination, I suppose my fascination, is that when he's in a trance-like state, he can see fights from great fighters past and present, right back to the bare-knuckle days and the very early champions like James J. Corbett, and right up to you know, the more modern legends like Ali, I suppose, and people like that, you know.
So it is a bit of a mix of what you've done before, then, if goes into this trance,
It is, Zoe, I suppose, and there's also a part there where he, you know, he finds he gets interested in the spiritual side of life, and he goes and sees what a medium probably was like, you know, a few years ago, and all that sort of thing. There's quite a lot of facts in there as well. But I'd have to say, I mean, you know, it's fiction, really. It's a novel, the end of the day, you know.
Yeah. Does it end well for him? That's what we'd like to know. Without giving too much away.
Now you've got the book, I want you guys to read. Yeah, I mean, he achieves his ambition. I mean, I suppose he achieves his ambition of having one man's vision of who would win the fight of all fights, you know, between all the great heavyweights.
But you're not going to reveal who that is, because you have to buy the book for that bit, don't you?
I'm not. But they're there, you know, and as I say, it was a new challenge, and I've really enjoyed it. I was surprised, to be quite honest. I mean, I've written a couple of things for Apex Publishing, who are publishing the book. It's an electronic book these days, which I suppose, I guess it seems like about 70% of, if not more, of all books are. And I'm old school, really. I like to see a book in your hands. But it's been exciting, you know, Jason. And it's amazing, you know, people sort of picking it up all over the world, that you really wouldn't get the same opportunities with a sort of hard copy book, you know.
That's it. You can appeal to everybody all at once, can't you? Whereas perhaps if it was just the physical copy, it would just be a gradual build up.
Spot on, Zoe. I mean, I've been quite took back by that, really. It surprised me, really. I thought, well, you know, a book, you've got to have it in your hand. But as I say, I mean, Apex have been around a good many years, and I've written two or three books, and they've always done well for me. And that's the way, I suppose, the publishing world is going. And I've been pleasantly surprised, really. It's got a hell of a lot of interest. I mean, I suppose, fingers crossed, you know, yeah, that type of book. It don't miss much, does it, old Jason, really? And, I mean, you always have that sort of album. I don't know, maybe a film or something, you know. And I mean, that would be wonderful. And yeah, I think it is something that could transfer to that, you know.
Yeah, whether it be a TV movie or something which hits the big screen, it's entirely possible. And I've got to keep reading it. I have my Kindle. I've got to make sure it's charged, because the difference between a book and a Kindle is the battery goes. But
ain't that true?
That's one problem. But no, I will be enjoying reading that, because I'm heading off around the world again this week, so I'll be reading it at an airport somewhere.
You've got the life, haven't you, Mr. Burridge?
Something along those lines, yes. But there we go. Phil, great speaking to you. What else is going on with your work at the moment? Because you're still broadcasting on WCRFM on a Monday night.
Yeah, I do a lot of work, you know, these days, Jason. Well, actually, you probably know you and I have been friends for a good many years, but I do a lot of work with sports people these days as well. A combination of psyching abilities, I suppose, and traditional sports psychology. And, you know, I do a lot of work with individuals in the sports world and all that sort of stuff, you know. But, you know, I mean, I suppose I'm lucky, really, that I do a lot of things that I want to do in life these days. And I think if you're doing that, then you've got a good life to some extent.
Yeah. I'm sure you have, and you've always lived it to the full, I believe.
I wouldn't mind your life flying all around the world.
The novelty wears off, I tell you.
So you don't like it? You're not keen on it?
I don't dislike some of it.
Really?
But it's I have to admit, I enjoy some of the travelling, but it's a bit strange when you're doing it for work because you're basically going to a different office in a different country, but everything else
rather
is the same.
Sightseeing, I suppose. Yeah.
Although I did really enjoy Sugarloaf Mountain and the Statue of Christ Redeemer and all the other stuff that I have done and visited around Perth.
It ain't a bad life, is it?
Not too bad.
Do you want to know where you can get this, by the way?
Which I was about to get to, because there'll be links from your website, but you can also search for you in Kindle store as well, can't you, on Amazon?
Yeah, you can. I mean, I think that's where it's mostly going, really, but the publishers would like you to go to the website as well and get it that way, you know? But obviously, the publishers are Ipex Publishing, and that's www.ipexpublishing.co.uk, but you're quite right. I mean, it is there available on Kindle. It's an e-book in $3.99 all over the world. I think it's $670, you know. So, I mean, that's another thing, really, that I suppose is really rather nice. I mean, a book of that size would probably be 4 or 5 times, wouldn't it, that in hard copy, you know.
Yeah.
And, it's exciting. It is. It's exciting, Zoe.
It makes
really
it more
is.
Accessible, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think if it goes okay and it looks like it's going to, I think I'd probably like to have another go at a novel, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, we want to do is
have a sequel.
Yeah, have a sequel and have a word with your publishers and tell them you've got to be somewhere interesting in the world to relax and write it. That's how it works. That'll come together well.
Or a travel book. That's it.
Yeah, that's another option.
12 months of travel.
Maybe. We'll see what you can come up with. Give us your website as well, Phil, so people can find out about the rest of your work.
www.philipsolomon.pwp.co.uk.
And all your stuff's on there, whether it be your other books, the music, and the rest of your work too.
Or Facebook.
Oh, Facebook, yes. Of course. Got a big Facebook membership. And at one time, I was having a bit of trouble with Facebook. Right? Well, not trouble, but they only let you have... I mean, you can have a Facebook page, but, you know, I could never add anyone because I'd always got 5,000 friends on there, you know. But I have cut that, you know. I know it sounds really cruel, really, but once a month, you know, I know it sounds terrible, but, you know, I'll just have a look who's not keeping in touch, and I'll delete 400 or 500. You've got to do it, really.
Yeah. It's a job in itself, doing that sort of thing.
I hate it. I absolutely hate it. But if you don't do that, then you can never add people who ask you to add them, because why do they do that? I don't know.
How about Twitter? Because they don't have any restrictions, do they?
Maybe so. I'm not much a big fan of Twitter, really. No. There you go. But
and maybe that will change at some point. Phil, keep up the good work. Then we'll look forward to the second novel in this series. And I still haven't finished the first one yet, but give me time to read that through before you start the next one, OK?
Thank you both very much.
Cheers. Well, always good speaking to you.
Bye-bye.
To thee, black country, England's engine room and soul. Your equality, your diversity, you're my beating heart of home. A place with that pretension that lingers long inside, to be championed and heralded and glorified worldwide. Our creeds and families, our humanity. with the seeds of a community that nurtured all to grow. This place was rough and ready, but it held fair play inside, with its lords, ladies and gentlemen of love and family pride. Birthplace of craft and industry in darkened skies above, with your cultures, your creeds and families, your humanity and love.
I've heard of the Black Country, the anthem, the Black Country Festival and Black Country Day, which is coming along very, very soon. And from the band, James Stevens joins us. Hello.
Hello, Jason. How are you, mate?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, mate. I've had a very strange week.
I can imagine.
Strange in a good way.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's been a long time since we last actually met up with you. It's been 12 months, I think, since you popped in to see us, hasn't it?
Yeah, we were thinking about that just the other day, and we reckon it has been about a year since we came and last visited with you, and we should do it again.
We've been trying to get you in, but it's been manic. It's been busy for us and busy for you guys too, and you've been doing all sorts of work, and the Black Country Anthem has been making your life very strange. As we currently record, it is the 29th of May, which means you are still in the middle of the first week of release of I've Out of the Black Country, and you don't know yet what's actually happened, but give us an update on the way sales have been going.
No, as this is going to go out on Monday, that you'll know what we all want to know at this point in time. But I mean, it's been in the top 40 all week across all sales formats, you know, so on Google Play, on Spotify, on iTunes, and on Amazon. Every time we look, I mean, it's been as high as 20, but it's hanging about in the top 40. So that makes us think that maybe it'll make an appearance in the top 40 on Sunday, but we may be wrong.
And this is a new experience for you, isn't it?
I'm hoping it does.
Yeah,
it's a totally new experience for us. We've been so flattered to be asked to contribute to the festival and to be put at the centre of it. It's just been a wonderful journey for us, Jason, really.
So, what's actually happened, though, aside of what we talked about last time you were in the studio? Because obviously this is all being sold in aid of Compton Hospice. Now, unfortunately, work commitments, etc., mean that you can't join us for Compton in the Park in just a few weeks' time. But, yeah, I mean, you've been down there playing live for the residents down at Compton.
Yeah, I've been down there this afternoon, actually playing for the residents there. And we've had a lovely couple of hours. They've all sang along with the anthem. They had me signing autographs by the end of it. It was all very strange. But I've enjoyed meeting with them, because to me, it's those guys that are what it's all about. You know, obviously we're enjoying it, and it's a novelty for us, and we've met some fantastic people. But the bottom line is we're raising money for Compton and for the people there in memory of Steve Evans, you know, who I'm sure you're aware of.
Oh yeah, I knew Steve, and it is important that his name is not forgotten, but equally the funds for Compton are very important too.
Yeah, of course. I it's our pleasure to be involved with them.
And what are you doing for Black Country Day itself then?
We're everywhere. We like a rash or a cheap suit. We're playing in Dudley Town on the 12th of July. There's going to be a stage in Stone Street Square. We are playing over in Wolverhampton on the Sunday at West Park for the City Show, or the City and Black Country Show, as I believe it's known now. And then we're doing, you know, our usual pub gigs on the nights all across that period of time. So if people get to our Facebook page, Jason, all the information will be on there, mate.
Well, give us the Facebook page then.
Just look for the Empty Can.
And more work in the pipeline. Obviously, we've got a few more songs to hear from you now, but is there a new album on the way? Is there other studio work you've been doing?
Yeah, there's a new album coming out in August called Sonic Boom, which we're just putting the finishing touches to at the moment, which we are very, very excited about. We think it's the best collection of songs that we've ever put together, but then we probably would feel like that. But no, it's very strong. it's, you know, it's more pop than we've kind of done before. We've kind of got an album of singles on our hands, really. So we're looking forward to putting that out. But you've got some tracks with you from our first record, which is the acoustic record. So, you know, that's still available from all good retailers as well.
And what's the release date for the new one?
The release date is August, is as much as I'm allowed to say at this point, Jack.
Okay, well, that is when we get you. Trouble. We'll get you in again then, okay? That's the way we'll work it.
Yeah, it'd be a pleasure to come over, mate, and see you guys again as well.
That's smashing. Right, okay, so what we're going to hear first of all from you?
Well, we'll hear the tune that kicked it all off, and with the website, The Only Way Is Dudley, we sent it to them, and this is about, the, you know, where we come from, and it's called The Place In Which I Roar.
James, thank you for joining us, and we look forward to hearing the rest of your music and seeing you again sometime soon, and good luck with the single, okay?
Jason, listen, thanks for taking the time to talk to us. I'll see you soon, and all the best.
This is the place in which I roar. These are the people that I have shot down once before. Right here's where you showed me the door. This is the place in which I roar. This is the place in which I roar. These are the people that I have picked up from the floor. Right here's where you showed me the door. This is the place in which I roar. If that tomorrow stands here aiming at, it's looking pretty weak to me. And how am I supposed to know what I've done wrong when you don't even speak to me? When was the last time that you had something to yourself completely? If just briefly. Back on this road I lived before, back in the place in which I roar. Shoot down anymore. Right here's where you showed me the door. This is the place in which I roar. Back on this road I lived before, back in the place in which I roar.
That was The Place In Which I Roar. That's Empty Can here on The Milk Bar. Now, August isn't the time you'd expect to see a panto, is it normally, Zoe?
Not normally.
Unless
you celebrate it twice, of course.
And that's exactly what Creative
is that
Stage...
What it is?
Yeah, ooh. Creative Stage Productions are doing. There is a panto in August. To tell us more, Scott Bagnall, hello.
Hello.
So what's going on? Why have you got a panto in the middle of the year?
Well, we've done 2 years at Christmas, and we've managed to strike up a deal with the Mitchell Arts Centre, so we wanted to go for something a little bit risky, and challenge panto in the summer.
But there's no reason why you can't enjoy yourself in the summer, and no better way of doing it than with the fantastic story of Sleeping Beauty.
Well, exactly that, yeah. This venture started out when I did The Wizard of Oz in Blackpool over the summer last year with a company in Liverpool, and I thought, well, if Blackpool can do it, why can't Stoke-on-Trent? So there we go.
Yeah, definitely. People need to have like the full Christmas dinner before they come out, don't they, with crackers and everything. Get them in the Christmas mood. That'd be good.
So what else is there special about Sleeping Beauty? Because it's been written by Paul Brammer.
We've got a brand new cast, brand new special effects, fantastic sets, costumes. This is our first sort of major production, having done 3 years at Brodie Garden Centre. We've got a talented cast. And yeah, so it's going to be a really good show.
Is it going to have the, you know, they're behind you and all that sort of thing in it as well?
Yeah, we've got all the typical panto routines. It's a brand new script. It's never been premiered anywhere before, so this is a premiere for the script. But Paul Brammer, who's been with us for a number of years now, is a fantastic writer and writes for various companies around the area, including Stoke Amateur Theatrical Society. So we're very lucky to have him on board as well. And once again this year, I am Muddle the Jester, so I'll be running around the stage.
I think that's typecasting, to be fair. But wow. you fit it very well. It's exactly what I know. I know you. But it is on Friday the 29th and Saturday the 30th of August. There are 7:15 shows each day and a matinee at 2:15 on the Saturday. The Mitchell Arts Centre, that's on Broad Street in Handley. £9 for adults, £7 concessions, and you can get a family ticket for two adults and two concessions priced at £30. The box office number is 01782 409 307 and their website mitchellartscentre.co.uk. And it is Creative Stage Productions, and I have seen your work and it is very good, and you guys throw yourself into it like you're mad things, don't you?
Oh, yes, yeah, we do. For those of you that did come and see us at Bradley, we've got three of the cast members from there, myself, Hannah Robinson, who's once again doing all the beautiful choreography, and playing Sleeping Beauty, and Emma Mills, who is playing the Prince, and then we've got a whole load of brand new cast members to hopefully bring the show to life once again.
See, I just thought, I mean, Sleeping Beauty, that's someone with the Prince in it. You didn't line yourself up for that role? You wanted to be Muddles?
No, typecast, I think.
Yeah, no, you're right, you are. Yeah, you're not princely, no. But there we go. So, Scott, great speaking to you. Have a great time. Break a leg and see how you get on with your spinning wheel as well. And we look forward to the panto in August.
All right, thank you.
Cheers,
thank
travel
you.
Now.
Bye-bye.
Let's take another song from the empty can. This is The Good Old Days.
To shoot the ball, but he's hounded by the pounding that is sounding from his head. It's the demon, he's come on back to see him. The only thing he ever says is not yet. The only light that shines upon him is not switched on yet. And everything he ever seems to say is wrong. So he falls out of his room from the doom and the gloom, but he's angered that he's standing on the landing by a phone that ain't ringing, and now his eyes are stinging. He wishes someone would call, he found he to shoot the ball. He's hounded by the pounding that he's sounding from his head. It's that demon, it's come on back to see him. The only thing he ever says is not yet. The only light that shines upon him is not switched on yet. And every single thing he ever seems to say is wrong. Oh, oh, oh. It's wrong. Oh, oh. It's wrong. Oh, oh, oh. It's wrong. Oh, oh.
That's the empty can with the good old days. Court is a novel set in the world of horse racing by Tom Butler. He's based in Walheath and he joins us on the phone now. Hello, sir.
Hello there.
How are you doing?
Fine.
Good stuff. Now, this has been on the bookshelves since February this year and doing
That's
rather
right.
well from all I'm told. So where did this interest come from for you? Because I think your history and work has previously been in banking and haulage.
That's right, yes. I mean, I've always had an interest in writing. I've written for as long as I can remember. But originally, I worked left school, worked for a bank for 28 years, one of the major banks. And then in 97, I had a complete move from banking into light haulage, which I still do.
And I suppose this also, you're busy with your own work, but it gives you some sort of flexibility when it comes to the writing and, of course, the promotional work that goes alongside that. But where did this interest come from then and the insight that you've been able to give to this subject?
Well, as I say, I've never been an avid reader. I've always wanted to write. And I read some Dick Francis novels when I was younger, and I've always wanted to sort of try and emulate that without sort of plagiarising him. And it was a strong idea that I had for a story, and I just developed it. Court was written in 2011. I kept rigidly to the racing calendar, and I set it around the Cotswold area.
But is this part of a series about Sam Woodall Jr., your professional jump jockey?
Well, I've been asked that before, Jason, and I may well bring him back. I mean, I am working on other things at the moment. But I did, prior to Court, I did write two horse racing-themed novels, which were about a completely different character. And I just wanted... But Court, for me, was the one that I thought might stand a chance of interesting a publisher. And that's why we sent it off when we did.
Mm-hmm. And the Book Guild have been pushing this book out there for you. And I mean, it's a big novel. I mean, you're talking 338 pages, and it must be quite impressive for your friends and family when they see the work you've put together and brought this one out.
Well, yes, it is, and I've been supported locally by all my friends and family. They really are pushing hard for me. My wife's been a fantastic inspiration. And, we were very impressed with what Book Guild did for us. They produced a really good quality book. And it wasn't edited out very much. It's the authentic story. All they did for me was help me with my bad grammar. Which,
but it proves they read it.
Be a writer's nightmare, you know.
But at least that way, though, so that they have worked on it and they do feel that it is right for publication. So give us a bit of a flavour of the story and what actually happens.
Well, Court is about a jump jockey by the name of Sam Woodall. And he is sort of, he's forced to turn detective to help his dad, who runs a business, and who fears that his business is being sabotaged. And Sam Jr. just gets caught up in a lot of stuff that he would rather not be caught up in. And he comes up against some pretty horrible characters.
So this is the world of horse racing, but then also goes into vintage cars and course fishing as well. So it's got a wide range of interests for people, but as you say, all set around the racing calendar. And did
That's
you find
right,
that
yeah.
a bit of a challenge, trying to make sure that there's bits of story fitted in with real-life events?
Not too much. I mean, I've always been an avid fan of horse racing, as you can gather, and I do follow the sport, although... I don't get to go to many meetings, but I think horse racing is a genre that I've always been interested in. There's some incredible characters that you meet at these meetings, and it is an industry. And Dick Francis certainly made a lot of money out of writing about it, and so John Frankham and people like Jenny Pittman. And it was just an interest that I wanted to follow through.
Well, you'll say that. Well, from what I hear, the book is very well received. If you do want to get hold of a copy of that one, you can get it through thebookguild.co.uk. But are there any local stockists as well?
Well, you can order it through Waterstones, but the quickest way to get the book, because they're very good at getting them out in the post, is through Amazon.
So
and that is probably the cheapest method as well.
Okay, search for Tom Butler and Court on there, and you can find out all about the book. There'll be a bit of a synopsis on there too to give you a few more details, and you can then sit back, enjoy and read. And your previous two books, is there a likelihood they'll be on the shelves as well soon?
Well, I need to probably revisit them and re-edit them myself just to tidy them up. But I am working on other things at the moment, which are completely different genres. I'm challenging myself every day to write something even better. Everybody, I think, in this industry is looking to write that bestseller, and I'm no different, really.
I don't blame you. Tom, keep up the good work. Have you got your own website as well where people can follow you?
I've not got a website yet, but you can find me on Facebook.
So just look for Tom Butler on there, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of links to the book Court and also through to the Amazon and Book Guild ways of getting hold of the book. Tom, great speaking to you. Thanks for joining us, and keep writing.
Okay thanks. Cheers. Thanks, Jason.
Ciao for now.
Bye.
Right, let's take one more song from The Empty Can to finish the show off today. This is Hold On Tight.
Met an astrophysicist on the plane. She said, we're all made of stardust and that God is not to blame. I was amazed. Then God delayed the plane. She said, enjoy the flight. Just enjoy the flight. Met an astrophysicist on the plane. She knew someone who'd shared my life and also shared my name. I was amazed. The plane was still delayed. Lovers keep coming despite all the running between. For those on the sidelines who stand there like spies looking in. Doctor, here are my ailments and what are the payments and costly arrangements just so I can breathe. And she said, hold on tight. This could take all night. Enjoy the flight. Just enjoy the flight. And she said, oh. Just enjoy the flight. Lovers keep coming despite all the running between. For those on the sidelines who stand there like spies looking in. Doctor, here are my ailments and what are the payments and costly arrangements just so I can breathe. Lovers keep coming despite all this running between. For those on the sidelines who stand there like spies looking in. And
doctor, here are my ailments, and what are the payments and costly arrangements, just so I can breathe. And she said, oh, just enjoy the flight. Met an astrophysicist on the plane.
Hold on tight from the empty can, and congratulations to James and the guys. They actually managed to make it to 36 in the independent music charts with I Vow to Thee, Black Country. Keep going along and buying that. Proceeds going to Compton Hospice whenever you do, and we look forward to hopefully it might even climb the charts next week. You never know. We'll see what happens then. Thanks again for joining us this week. Back next week. It'll just be me next week on the grounds that I'm over in the US, and we'll be having a chat, hopefully with Pete Clements in Houston, and as well as the usual bits and pieces from around Wolverhampton as well. So that's all on episode 259 of The Milk Bar then. See ya. Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the Milk Bar. Goodbye from the Milk Bar. Goodbye from the Milk Bar. Goodbye from the Milk Bar, yeah. Goodbye from the Milk Bar, yeah.